May we turn together to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. I'd like to read the entire chapter, with God's help.
Bratje naše, da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Luci iz 15. glave. Ima želju da se pročita cela glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Luci, 15. glava.
Perhaps I'll start with verse 33 of chapter 14. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. The people that are mentioned here, publicans and sinners, drew near unto Jesus. And that is the simple message of the parables and the message of Jesus Christ, inviting each and every one of us to draw near unto him and to leave everything else behind, to leave behind the hopes of this world's gain, to leave behind the allure of power and control over the situations of our life, to leave behind the promise of the good feeling of our worthiness, to leave behind anger and bitterness, sinful habits, in repentance, and come near to Jesus. There is great joy in the Lord for every sinner that turns unto God in this contrite heart, and he labors and yearns for this to be true in our lives. How many prayers have gone up? How many messages have gone out? How many times has he called and patiently waited for each of us until that desire to draw near would build up in our heart, planted by him, nurtured, fanned to flame, that we would come and turn our back on this world and every bit of deceit and deception that Satan would put in front of us, casting ourselves before his feet, hoping only in him, and having no other thing of value to cling to but the Lord. There was a certain man who had two sons, and the younger one asked for his inheritance. He asked for the blessing of the household. He asked for the blessing of his father's wealth, but he did not want the life. You know, you only get an inheritance after the father dies. So what good was this father to the son but to give him a bunch of wealth, and I wish you were better off dead? That's what we say when we say yes to sin. We want God's blessing and we want his presence. We don't want his life. And without his life, Satan drives a wedge between us, and it doesn't take long. The younger son, it didn't take too many days for the guilt to set in and the shame. And he couldn't bear it, and he had to leave. And he walked away. How many of you have walked away? Maybe you never left your house. But there is some selfishness that is driving a wedge between you and your Creator. And you want to get as far away as you can. And you don't realize it. You have no clue. Because the bag of money is full. The music's playing. The alcohol's pouring. The friends are laughing. And you're having a good time. This man spent everything that he had. And maybe that wouldn't be too much of a problem as long as he had a good job and things were going well in the economy. He was able to insulate himself from pain and want. But there are things that are outside of his control. And the famine came. And it exposed his need. I wonder what he would have done differently if he knew what was coming. If he knew how hard it would be. If he knew the cost. But he couldn't know. Nothing could have prepared him. And nothing could have avoided it. Because, just like in our spiritual life, without the Lord, we have no life. Without faith in Jesus Christ, we have no hope. And the prosperity and affluence that we enjoy seems to shield ourselves from that, and for needing a, or finding a need to have a hunger for righteousness when we're filling our bellies. And we don't know what it means to physically hunger. Those spiritual teachings seem somewhat distant. But here this famine finally exposed the need. And he went about seeking some way to provide for himself. He used his intellect and his, perhaps his talents. Joined up with a man of that country, got himself a job. And it said he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Fain. He would have been willing. That's what fain means. He would have been willing under the circumstances to fill his belly with the husks. The leftovers of the food from the house that the pigs would have eaten. And even though he would have been willing for even just that, nobody would give him that. And so, this path of this young man took away everything of value that he had. And it left him empty. I wonder if that's why the publicans and sinners drew near unto Christ when they heard him say, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." They looked around at their life, at what they had, and they saw emptiness. They knew that they lacked. Something was missing. Something was hollow and vain. Unlike this man that found himself in a pigsty with no food, a publican was a tax collector. He had a lot of potential for gaining wealth. But God was opening up their spiritual eyes to see that the opportunities that they were pursuing were empty. There was nothing of value in them. The teaching of Jesus brought that to light. And they could see clearly then how empty their prosperous life was. And they could agree with Jesus' teaching. I can leave this because it doesn't mean anything to me. It's not valuable. It's futile. There's no purpose to it. There's no end to the pursuits to gain for myself. And to do what? To leave it all behind. How we see things is important. Do we see things with our physical eyes, or does the word of Jesus Christ open our spiritual eyes to see the things that are truly of value and to see the things that are worthless and empty? And from the lowest point in this experience, when he finally realized he came to himself and he remembered his father's house, I find it just fascinating that the thing that he remembered were the servants, or the thing that his mind could grasp or even hope for was the thought of a servant who was cared for and provided for. He didn't say, I remember what I had when I was in my father's house and I was enjoying things, or I had plenty. No, he remembered the servants. He couldn't even think about being a son in his father's house anymore. How unworthy he felt. How he realized that he did not deserve what he had left. He knew that he had sinned against God and against his father. He knew he turned his back and he let himself be driven away. And God, through the experiences of life and the patience and mercy, he's able to call those who are far away to come back, to return, to repent while there's still time. And he decided that is what he will do. He would go back. He would confess what he had done and have his petition to ask to be as one of the hired servants. He arose, and while he was a great way off, the father noticed, and he knew what was happening. And he was rejoicing to see one who he thought was dead coming back. Filled his heart with a yearning to gather this son back in, to embrace him again, to hold him close, and to make him worthy. We don't do that to ourselves, nor can we earn it. This is a pure gift of God. It's not because we come clean, but we came straight from the pigsty, without a robe or shoes. And we are provided for in abundance. That emptiness, that lack, that futility, the deception that's in this world, the lies that are being told, that are so blatantly obvious, they're leading you to hell. My friend, Jesus invites you to come back and not to wait another day. Brother and sister, the thing that came back to the young man's mind was that of a servant who was well cared for and was content. And that touched his heart. He didn't think of the one that was in a high position. He remembered seeing the servants of his father and how they contentedly worked and were in joy and peace being provided for by his father. To have a love and a faith that's rooted in Jesus Christ, that is willing to give ourselves and our desires for each other, is what will be remembered and impact others who are sitting in the pigsty of life. It's not a fancy robe. It's not designer shoes. Just a content servant. That's something that, as we are servants in the house of the Lord, perhaps we could have that desire and be used of the Lord in that way, to be remembered like that, in the simplicity of giving, in the joy of forgiveness, in the love and mercy and peace that comes from knowing that God is providing for all of our needs and we are content in Jesus Christ. His precious cross. The elder son was in the field. He was quiet, and he was working. He was laboring. And as he came, he inquired and found out what was happening. His response was anger and stubbornness. And the father goes out to him too. Because anger and stubbornness keep a son out of the house as well. And the point was to invite everyone. The point was to fill the house, that no one would be left behind. And that everyone would love and know that at the right hand of God there's rejoicing, there's pleasures forevermore. To know what we have, the Father entreats the Son. He invites him to remember the character of the Father. Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesians that they would understand this. They would know what a blessing they have in Jesus Christ, in being part of the house of God. And he prayed, and he ceased not to pray for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are just a small part, and as nothing, and as unprofitable servants, but the riches are to be found in Jesus Christ and what he has shown. What do you know of him? How much more do we need to learn and be reminded of what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ? One who showed hospitality to Jesus needed to be reminded. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. Those who have been forgiven little, love little. Not one of us who have received the forgiveness of God were unlike this younger brother who have been forgiven much. The Word teaches us. We read not long ago that the divine power of God has given unto us all things that to pertain to life and godliness. There is not one thing that is lacking on the supply that God provides through Jesus Christ, that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly, and that we might walk before him in godliness and fear. And we do that through the knowledge of him who hath called us unto glory and virtue. To know Jesus Christ, to know the Father, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent is eternal life, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have turned our backs to this world and to ourself. We have turned our back to selfishness and anger and bitterness, to embrace God that he might live within us. How close is that? What closeness of relationship is that, that God would dwell within us and be close to us and near to us in all things that we ask him for? Jesus invites. One was willing, but felt so unable. One felt that he was able, but he wasn't willing. The Father went to both of them. One more time to invite them in. May God bless the Word.
And publicans. And the Pharisees and the scribes were murmuring about that. They were complaining, why is Christ being with sinners and publicans? And so Christ, being the great teacher that he was, taught them. And he brought forth three stories. And it's a very great way to teach is by using stories. And so he used these stories that they could relate, stories of, of sheep and silver, finding silver, and then of this prodigal son. He used these stories to teach. What was it that he was teaching? He needed to teach the scribes and the Pharisees that mercy is what God is about reconciliation. Reconciliation. About bringing back. He is a God who delights in mercy. He was to show mercy. Christ came, and in Matthew's gospel, where we read about this same situation where Christ was eating with sinners and publicans, and the Pharisees and scribes were murmuring about that and complaining, like, what's he doing spending time with sinners? Jesus told them at that time that, go learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Christ came to show sinners mercy. And then through that mercy that is shown, there is a reconciliation, a bringing together again. There was joy when that sheep was found. There was joy when that piece of silver was found. There was joy when that prodigal son came home. There was a reconciliation. There was mercy that was shown. And there was rejoicing in that. Man can do great things. Man can accomplish great things. Go out into space, build nations, do great things, build economies. The angels in heaven don't rejoice over any of those things. But this morning we read that there is joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. When there is a reconciliation of one sinner, that's when the angels rejoice. Let's show mercy. Let's do God's work. Bring about reconciliation and rejoice in what God has done. Amen.